What's good, football fans? Welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends, Brady Bradley and Jeremy. My name is Josh. We appreciate you all tuning in. Well, fellas, neither of our teams got a dub this weekend. How are you guys doing?
1 week, Jeremy wanted our team to win. We just couldn't get the job done, so
apologize fantastic, for that, I guess. Becker.
Chestnut checkers hurting the Packers even when they're not playing.
I'm just glad I didn't have to watch a Packer loss, so that's good at least.
Yeah. Brother, how are you?
I'm good, man. The poll of the week, so we're in week 14, right? This is the week before fantasy playoffs. And one of my scenarios, one of my dynasty leagues was when to get in. And I'm currently rocking JT and Elvin Kamara on buys. So I said, you know what, Jerick McKinnon, why don't you plug into the starting lineup? It just goes off for 30 points. So
that's huge.
So that will play. I'm going to win, yes, at this point. Yes. Unless Austin, I'm not going to win now because Austin Eckler is going to go berserk. So that's okay. I just jinxed myself.
Everybody else have playoff scenarios too? Somebody for Fourth and Miles and you're in a playoff, right?
Yeah, so I am either for sure locked and loaded into my positions or I have no shot. So I have very little riding on the end of this week.
I too had a win to get in. fortunately, my team didn't play amazing, but I got some help from my opponent. So I think I'm going to get in.
It's fun.
But I too had Jonathan Taylor on bye, Antonio Gibson on a bye. I had to pick up two starting running backs to play, which were Cam Akers and Mike Boone. And fortunately, Akers got in the end zone. Mike Boone was out in the first quarter, so that was unfortunate. But thank you for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he's probably going to win people weeks this week. So we kind of have a fun show. Like Bradley said, it's playoff time, so we're moving through that. Starts the week, waivers are going to be interesting. A lot at stake here. And then we have some stash or trash. We're doing our week 14 recap. We're going to try and get through it as quick as we can because we're doing a fun little scenario, kind of rewinding on the 2022 season, doing a redraft of the first round for fantasy. So we're going to do the top 12 picks, just a fun little, I guess, quote-unquote reverse mock where we know what's happened already in 2022. Where would you draft these guys? And just see how it lays out after the first round. And maybe we have some differences in opinion, but it'd be a fun little exercise to see where we're at. Let's talk week 14 recap. Josh, you start us off with the Thursday night game, Las Vegas versus the Rams.
Absolutely. So my one big thing for this game is now with Cooper Kupp not being a weapon for the Rams, there's obviously going to have to be some targets that get spread around here. Do you think Brent Skowronek is going to be a top 30 wide receiver rest of the year? That's not a very high bar, but it is like he had, you know, 8 targets for 89 yards and different quarterback could find some new targets and kind of cling to those. And I think this might be one of those situations. So curious if you guys see if, you know, the floor or ceiling of Ben Skowronek the rest of the year.
I would take the over on top 30. He has finished in that realm twice this season. I'm not going to overreact to a one good game with him. He's certainly like interesting from a waiver wire perspective. Like we'll talk about him later, but I don't think consistently he's a top 30 rest of the season.
Having Baker Mayfield helps. I would rather have Van Jefferson than Ben Skowronek. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I love 8 targets. I feel good about the 8 targets. Van Jefferson was 4 targets.
Got in the tub, though. That's really encouraging. But, yeah, that was just kind of my thought process because, you know, this team is just limping to the finish line at this point and was actually able to get a dub today, which, I mean, good for them but and bad for the Lions pick. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, they're trying some different things and having some new people in different roles and wanting to see how that's going to react for us here.
They didn't get a dub today, but that's okay. They got a dub on Thursday. But anyways, Jeremy, you're up for the Jets and Buffalo.
You know,
Jets and Buffalo. Buffalo kind of won this game handily. I had the Jets last week, and I talked a lot about Garrett Wilson. I expected maybe a little bit more of a down week from him this week, and then really be able to help you in the playoffs, but he was solid. I think this week, 7-8 catches, whatever it was, and 70 yards, you know, he had a solid week. I think the Jets have not one, but two potential league winner candidates in Garrett Wilson and Elijah. I'm just kidding. Zonovan Knight continues to look really good. And Michael Carter was back this week, not overly used. That could be because they're working him back in, but I think he's going to have a major role these last couple of weeks, especially with them, given the matchups that they have. Next week, they play the Lions. Zonovan Knight is somebody that I would feel pretty confident starting even in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's certainly, you feel good about him out-touching Michael Carter, because that was the biggest concern, is that Michael Carter comes back. It's more of a 50-50 timeshare, and 17 carries is certainly encouraging.
Zonovan Knight versus Detroit or Damian Pierce versus Kansas City?
I would do Zonovan Knight.
I think I would too.
I have that scenario going for my playoff team. So
I thought that run defense for Detroit, I thought, looks pretty solid today, though. I know they might be able to get carved up a little bit in the passing game, but do you disagree with that, Brady?
No, I mean,
I don't know what to think about it.
They were good against the run. I mean, still not that great of a defense. They gave up 400 passing yards.
Very true. That's a very good point.
Let's talk Cleveland, Cincinnati. My one big thing is Jamar Chase. He had a coming out party after, I think this is his second week back from injury. Not a bad week last week, but this week he came in. He actually said in his post game interview that Zach Taylor talked to him before the game and said, like, they're going to get him involved more often. And it showed. He had almost 50% of the target share, had 15 of the 33 targets that Joe Burrow threw. If T. Higgins misses time, I know you can't classify somebody you picked in the first two rounds as a league winner, but we could be seeing something similar to last year where he had a performance that won you league championships because of the boom weeks that Jamar Chase can have. So my one big thing is, if you stuck with Jamar Chase or if you traded for him while he was hurt, congratulations, it's probably going to pay off in dividends for you.
For sure, I completely agree. It's hard to be a league winner when you're a first two-round pick, but you're absolutely right on that.
How about T. Higgins, though? Like, what? That was kind of an odd situation where he played, what, one snap?
Yeah. He wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to play that snap either.
Yeah. He got hurt.
It's not like Zach Taylor didn't want him to go in, and he went in, and then they
pulled him.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. He got hurt in pregame. So that's why he didn't play.
That's so tough.
Houston-Dallas is my game. My one big thing is Tony Pollard equals lightning in a bottle. He had 14 attempts, whether it was four catches and 10 rushes, and he put up 20.2 half-point PPR points. He's running back 9, I think, on the season at this point. In the past 7 games, he's only had one single-digit week. He has been extremely consistent for you. Kind of out of nowhere, this Zeke injury turned into kind of a blessing for Tony Pollard. So he's absolutely been lightning in a bottle.
I think we might talk about him later.
Oh.
Okay.
Fair. All right. Well, moving, transitioning then to
Stash.
yes, he is Stash.
The next game we have on the docket is the Vikings versus the Lions. And my one big thing for me is the air raid offense that Detroit has. Like, this offense has been absolutely tearing up the league the past, like, 6 games. And they had 4 fantasy relevant receivers going on in this game. So they had, you know, DJ Chark, Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then the rookie Jameson Williams, who was actually able to, obviously there was a pass, you know, or a coverage breakdown, but, you know, nonetheless, really, really like what I'm seeing from Goff. And curious of your, just, this is kind of a tangent. If he has somewhat similar production rest of year, do you think he starts week one without a top 2 drafted rookie behind him, or what are your thoughts?
I think even if he plays bad the next 3 weeks, he's their quarterback next year. I thought Rapoport already came out and said that he's a quarterback of the future. He's 28, so he's still really young.
He's got plenty of time for sure.
He throws a very nice ball. Like, he's a good player. I would temper expectations. Goff has had 2 really good weeks. Otherwise, he hasn't been over 250 yards. So week 8, he had over 250, otherwise 137, 236, 165, and 240. Plays the Jets next week. I would temper your expectations. He looked really good today.
Vikings, it's a little bit cover. It's a little bit they little bit cover. Better defense in New York than yep. there is in Minnesota.
So, but he looked really good. Philly versus the Giants. Jeremy, this is you.
This can be pretty quick. I mean, a lot of things happen that I think we know. The Eagles are really good. Miles Sanders is, if you didn't think this already, he's an auto start. I mean, he continues to prove that he's used, you know, and I think the knock is always, well, they've got three guys there, you know, Boston Scott gets some work, Kenny Gainwell gets some work. It doesn't matter. They run the ball enough and he's getting in the end zone now, which is a complete 180 from last year. So Miles Sanders is an auto start. There's really not much else. I mean, the Giants, they're a year away still. They're not, you know, the team that I think they looked like early in the early going. But the Eagles are legit.
Jalen Hurts is the MVP, correct?
Yeah, I think I was just about to say, I think this was kind of his signature, I'm the MVP. Right, there's still 4 weeks left. A lot of things could happen. Carson Wentz was the MVP for the Eagles before he got hurt. I believe it was similar to this time of the year. So, like, things can happen, but, like, a healthy Jalen Hurts the rest of the season is probably the MVP.
I think it would have to be a really bad game. I think it's between him and Mahomes.
Yes.
And Mahomes looked fine. He had three picks today, too. So, I think Jalen Hurts kind of solidified that one. Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. My one big thing is J.K. Dobbins. It's really good to see him back. There's been some efficiency questions about if J.K. Dobbins was efficient, if he was explosive. I think he kind of answered those questions today. 15 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. So really good to see him back. I think you can feel comfortable with playing him in the playoffs. And then I'll just add one thing. I still think if you're in a pinch, you can still play Gus Edwards too. He had 13 carries, so that's more than that some other running backs.
No, I agree. That's plenty of work for a backup running back.
I worry, though, when Lamar comes back, which could be as soon as Thursday, that those 13 carries get divided up to Lamar as well.
And I said, yeah, if you're in a pinch, you'd have to be a flex position or, like, somebody gets hurt. But they play Cleveland and they play Atlanta. Those are two really good playoff matchups.
Yes, they are. Jacksonville, Tennessee. Kind of a shootout of game, unexpectedly, 36-22 in favor of Jacksonville. Before I get to my one big thing, I just want to give a shout-out to Evan Engram. Just went absolutely nuclear. He was amazing. My one big thing, though, is where has Travis Etienne gone? The last 4 weeks, he has not scored more than 8.8 half-point PPR points. He had zero targets today. 0 to 10, what is your level of concern with Travis Etienne? 0 means you are not concerned at all. 10 means panic meter. He is not being started.
I'm at a 9 because he plays Dallas next week. Plays Dallas and the Jets. We're looking at a 3 week window right now, guys. We're looking at week 15, 16, 17. It's Dallas.
That's 17 against Jets. Houston, though.
He plays Houston, but you got to survive the first.
No, you do.
You're looking at week 15, and Dallas is one of the toughest matchups in the league. I would say it's a 9 for me because guess what? He can play great in week 17, but you got to get there first. And 15 and 16 are tough.
No, I agree. I think I'm at like a 7 myself, and he's not getting a lot of passing work either, which kind of limits, you know, what he's able to bring to the table. So I'm at a 7.
I'm also at a 7.
7.
Derrick Henry is so awesome. He plays the Chargers in Houston weeks 15, 16.
My goodness.
Giddy up, boys.
That's going to be an absolute wrecking crew. But next game we have on the docket here is Kansas City, Denver. And Denver is actually able to push back a little bit. So my one big thing is Jerry Jeudy feasting with Courtland Sutton out. He had 3 touchdowns, and he also had 73 yards on 9 targets for 8 grabs. Something that we have been wanting to see. He was injured for a handful of weeks and was actually able to bounce back and show what we have been able to see for his talent, has been able to bring this to the table and actually being able to, put that into production was really, really great. But so that was my one big thing. And, as a little side tangent, being able to trust Kansas City running backs, as in like McKinnon and Pacheco, to at least give you some floor the next couple of weeks because they have Houston and Seattle, which are two pretty good matchups for running backs, if not elite matchups. So obviously, Pacheco's put up at least 10 points the last 4 weeks. And I think I would envision that to continue. And then getting that boom from McKinnon's only going to give you more confidence.
play Judy next week in playoffs. Plays Arizona.
Boy, you'd be hard pressed to not want to stay in the Flames with him, but
I would only play him if Cortland Sutton does not play.
Yeah.
It would. I'm trying to think of a comparable. Who's someone that you would start over Jerry Judy that's pretty close for you?
Chris Olave or Jerry Judy?
Chris Olave for me.
It's Olave, but I'm not feeling good about either right now.
Hollywood Brown or Chris or Jerry Judy?
Probably Jerry Judy.
Hollywood.
The bottom line is that Jerry Judy's a flex at best. Because this is
Deontay Johnson or Jerry Judy?
Jerry Judy. Absolutely Jerry Judy.
That's so disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful.
We should be having a conversation on stash trash.
If you watch Deontay play, he's so good. Their offense is just terrible. It's so bad.
Got that it.
Unfortunately, it does matter for fantasy, though. So is he making it
to whatever you say, DJ today? Moore?
Yeah, we.
That's he a really line. Looked good today with his 0.6 points.
Yeah, he was at a real nice comfy spot on my bench.
That's too generous. Get him out.
No, not gonna.
That is a great,
good segue.
Great segue into the Carolina-Seattle game, where my one big thing is I would like to hear Josh tell me where DJ Moore dynasty value is.
Good. That's a good one big thing.
Boy, not great. Probably like a top 30 receiver in dynasty. I don't think that's crazy. Like he's 25. He doesn't have any long-term or short-term or medium-term quarterback answers right now. But
Darnold's 2-0 since he come back. Are you kidding me?
they're in the quarterback market.
Yeah, they're not in the quarterback market anymore.
That's just crazy. Oh, that's
You were going to say top 30 player overall at first.
Oh, my goodness.
We would have muted him and got him out of here.
I don't know if that's disrespectful to DJ Moore, but I don't think it is 30.
Receiver or player?
Receiver.
Yeah.
No, I think
it's not been good.
Age and ability to relocate in the next couple years.
I was going to say. It's just the outside factors for it. Like, he's proven he's talented. It's just what outside factors can help him. Who comes in as a head coach? What if the offensive coordinator for Steichen from Philly?
Oh.
Shane Steichen?
Oh, yeah.
Steichen?
Yeah.
Like, what if he comes in and he plays like a Devonta Smith / AJ Brown role, like something like that. Just thinking out loud. If he gets outside factors, last but certainly not least, San Francisco, Tampa Bay. Pretty interesting, right?
Nice.
There's a lot of outside factors.
You were looking forward to saying that one.
I was. The Deebo Samuel injury sucks, but it's also, let's just be honest, it's good news. We a lot of news about like tearing his ACL or having a knee injury, and they said it's a high ankle sprain. So all in all, he might go on IR, but like looking at long term, it's better news for Deebo. Like you just saw the news of him looking emotional, everybody going up giving him a hug. It's just super sad, but also good news now. So anyways, I'd be interested to know what your guys' thoughts are on Brandon Ayuk going forward in these next, we're talking 3 weeks, remember. So how do you feel about Brandon Ayuk? Kittle still did not have that good of a week. And Ayuk was in the end zone again. So thoughts on Brandon Ayuk? He plays Seattle, Washington, and Las Vegas.
I wouldn't want to play him.
You wouldn't want to like play him in your roster?
No, I would not play Brandon Ayuk. He's a flex at best. When Deebo was in there, Brandon Ayuk was a non-factor.
I mean, yeah,
he looks
three targets.
Really good.
He does look great, but three targets is just not what you want.
No.
And until that changes, otherwise, it's going to be hard to have confidence in him, even if he gets in the end zone.
And that's not going to be Purdy's game. Purdy's game is not going to be push the ball down the field a ton. He's going to have to occasionally just to keep the defense reasonable, but he's going to dump it off to Kittle. He's going to dump it off to Deebo if he's there, and to McCaffrey.
Yes, and McCaffrey is still good. We
can confirm.
Any questions there? No. might be a good segue into this next segment. So we're rewinding the 2022 fantasy draft. We're not going to spend too much time on each pick, but we're doing picks 1 through 12. So we're doing a first round mock draft of the 2022 draft. Josh, you're on the clock with the first pick. Who are you taking?
Yes, with the first pick of the 2022 Rewind draft, I am taking Josh Jacobs, 101 running back. He's the number one running back in the fantasy right now. It's the biggest position of scarcity. I'll take Josh Jacobs.
Agree, disagree from the group.
I had him as my number two player.
He was four for me.
Disrespect.
I'm sprinting to the podium. Christian McCaffrey, please.
Really?
He was number three on my list.
I mean, I feel incredibly disrespectful. I put him at eight on my list.
Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah. I don't know why, wow, but I did. So again, I'm sprinting to the podium because I have my number one player, and that's Tyreek Hill.
And okay, I'm sprinting to the podium because I still have my number
one player. We're getting a lot of cardio in right now. My goodness.
I am going with Justin Jefferson.
Jay Jettis.
Yep.
I like it.
Josh, you're up at 105. Who you got here?
Yes, I am. With my next
pick, hold on. Before you go, was that pretty similar for you guys' top four players?
More or less. No. Bradley's shaking his head no.
Obviously, CMC was out.
My next pick that I had was Davante Adams.
Wide receiver seven, huh?
Wide receiver seven.
He was my number three player.
My next pick is going to be Austin Eckler.
That was who I was deciding between. Bradley, what say you?
I'm going Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
I am going at 108. I am taking Stephon Diggs.
Ooh. At number nine, I am going to be taking Derrick Henry. Traditional Derrick Henry stand, Josh.
Come on, Brianna. Cool, Josh.
Is on the clock.
At 110, I will take Saquon Barkley.
Just respectful.
Good pick.
I'm going to go with Travis Kelce.
And then Brady wrapping up the first round here. Who do you got?
Wrapping up the first round at 112. I'm going to do it. I said we were going to talk about
Tony Pollard. Yeah.
I'm taking Tony Pollard here at 112. The boom bust weeks, that's perfect for fantasy. Coming into the playoff weeks, the teams that win fantasy championships, we talk about Alvin Kamara, that five touchdown game he had against the Vikings, won you leagues. Jamar Chase the last week. Tom Brady had a big week last year. Like, those are the players you want in fantasy. It's not fun to ride the wave, but when it pays off, and that's what's happening with Tony Pollard. You just see those weeks where he's got 20 plus fantasy points. I would rather have that than somebody else who was on my list, Jonathan Taylor, because I know Pollard's going to be efficient with his touches.
Really quick, so, just give another player that's on your list that you just is an important shout for you.
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
I would.
Oh, yuck.
I would not take Mark. Excuse me. In the first two rounds, I would not take Mark Andrews.
WJ.
I mean, knowing what we know now about Mark Andrews, I would not take him in the
first round. I was just thinking more position scarcity and how having a difference maker at the position, but I suppose he did have quite the lull in the middle of the season. Boy, when he's healthy, though, my goodness.
Next player on my list was A.J. Brown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown was the name I was going to bring up. Obviously, JT, but Brady had mentioned him, and my next one would have been A.J. Brown.
What do you think about, like, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen? Like, do you think future redraft years, QBs are just going to get pushed up further and further, and the late-round QB is more or less dying out because the delta between, like, high-end quarterbacks and middling quarterbacks is getting wider and wider?
I don't. I think you're still going to get those players like Joe Burrow, who's still going to go in the fourth to sixth round. Same with Kyler Murray. I think it's more receivers. I mean, look at our draft. We have two in the top four or three in the top five, four in the top eight. That's just more than what I was that we would have expected at the beginning of the year, especially early on in the draft. We saw late first round picks being wide receivers, but you just see those players moving up now.
I suppose Jalen Hurts was not a very high round draft pick this past year too. So
right, you ready to flex on him?
Let's flex on him.
Flex or fade, boys. First one, Johnny Taylor versus our beloved Minnesota Vikings. The line for him is running back 7 or better. Are you flexing or fading?
I will fade that.
I'll fade that too. That we usually get beat in the air. That's kind of how we've been getting torn apart for the Vikings. So I am fading that.
I am going to flex it.
I am also going to flex.
Next player is
Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver 1 next week. Book it.
Amari Cooper versus the Baltimore Ravens. 15 half-point PPR points is his line, just for context. In his 13 games he's played, he has done that 5 times.
I will flex this. I think Watson's getting a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I like that reasoning. I'll flex as well.
I'm fading. I disagree. I think Watson's more a DPJ kind of guy.
Oh.
Donovan's People's
Jones. What's his name? Yep.
I am also fading.
At least two of us get it. Jalen Waddle versus the Buffalo Bills. Wide receiver 15 or better. He has done that in the third of these games this season, 4 out of 12.
So flex. That is I'm fading on that for sure.
I am
feel better about it.
I'm flexing.
Ooh, I think they're going to try and stop Hill.
Next one is our beloved Pat Freiermuth versus the Carolina Panthers. Tight end 8 or better. I think you guys would be surprised he's achieved this 7 out of 12 times this season.
My goodness.
I'm going to flex because I think Trubisky's going to play. Trubisky likes throwing Patty F the ball.
Let's go. Let's flex.
For those reasoning, I am also flexing.
I'm flexing as well. Next one is
Shark Tank. For those reasons, I'm out.
Justin Fields is our last one versus the Philadelphia Eagles. His benchmark is 80 rushing yards or better. He's done that 5 out of 12 games.
That's such crazy. A high bar. My goodness, that's such a high bar.
I'll flex.
I'm fading.
I'm fading because the Eagles defense should be used to trying to
practicing against.
I'm flexing coming off a bye. I think he's going to be fresh and he's going to be running a lot.
And I'm flexing because I don't think any of the receivers can separate from Slay or James Bradbury. So he's going to be running. Because if you watch him, and there's no disrespect to him, he looks at one or two guys and then he just takes off and runs. Which I'm not, that is not a knock on him. Like, his receivers don't get open, his O-line can't block. So he is going to save his life. So don't take that as a knock that he doesn't go through progressions. I just think he's going to run a lot more. Right, did you flex?
I flexed.
Sweet. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do week 15 preview.
Hi, guys. This is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks, guys. And now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the 4th and a Mile podcast. We're getting into week 15 preview. It's playoff time. It's important. We got waivers, stash or trash, then starts of the week. All these matter for our listeners' playoffs, so good luck with your waivers. Let's get it started. We do our top 5 and our honorable mention. Week 15 waivers, starting honorable mention. Let's go.
Yeah, my honorable mention is just going to be Jerick McKinnon because it has a really juicy matchup next week with Houston, and they're going to be in a great game script where we're going to just rely on running backs for probably the whole second half. And so I think that he's going to get plenty of action.
My honorable mention is, I'm just going to say it's Zamir White. I don't know how banged up Josh Jacobs is. They are not making the playoffs. And if he is a little banged up, I feel like they're going to be hesitant to play him, which would mean a coming out party for Zamir White.
That's really not a bad one. I did not have him on my list.
Nor did I. But I like that rationale.
Mine is Gus Edwards. He did, like Brady mentioned earlier, he did get 13 carries. I think it's worth a look, potentially. Honorable mention.
Do you guys know how old Josh Jacobs is? 28.
27.
24.
He is 24.
Really?
Yep.
24 years old?
Yep.
How many years has he been in the league?
Five? Four? I think he was 20. Yeah. My honorable mention, I'm going with the Breida filter, Matt Breida, just in case Saquon's out. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't love a lot of my waivers.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. I'm in.
Bradley, the Breida filter sponsor, is coming clutch.
Who's number five?
Number five for me is DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones. We spoke about him a little bit earlier today. He's outside of the top 40 receivers, so I wouldn't envision him necessarily being on people's rosters, but he is getting that that relationship with Watson down pat. He had 12 targets today, which was a season high, and so that's something that I think is developing.
I was under the impression that he was on a roster. He would be my number one if we're talking
there
with him. My number five is Ben Skowronek.
I like it. It's a solid shout. You've made that clear, Brady. Jeremy, what do you think about Ben Skowronek?
I think he's solid.
Solid. I'll take solid.
Oh, nice answer. That's really good.
You guys are not going to like my number five, but it is Chris Moore.
I like it.
Yeah. What did he have? 12 targets?
11 targets today. Caught 10 of them for 124 yards. Who was throwing the ball?
You might be hearing about him later.
Didn't they do a quarterback by committee?
It didn't matter. Whoever was throwing the ball, it was to him.
40% of passing attempts. He was targeted. Right. It's crazy.
I got a name for you. He's a rookie. Tight end Chig Okonkwo. Tight end for Tennessee. He's had 2 weeks in a row where he's been a tight end one. Could be a time where the rookie's actually starting to get some more tick. And I think Austin Hooper's still there too. Okonkwo's an absolute freak. Like, he is athletic. We talked about him after the combine about the numbers that he put up. So I would take him, and if you need to, you can play him against the Chargers.
I agree. I think he is worth mentioning as far as a name wise.
Number four,
I had Elijah Moore. They're playing Detroit next week, and that's all I need to know, baby. He is going to get 10 targets, and he's going to get probably 14, 15 fantasy points. He had 10 targets this week.
Gross. I'm out.
Can I give you one? I just want to get mine out there so I can be done. You guys are going to hate it. Probably not playing him unless he gets some sort of buzz. I'm saying Danny Gray, San Fran.
What?
The rookie receiver.
I would do Juwan Jennings before him.
I want the big play.
Mm. Well, I don't know if.
Why do you think I wanted to say it and get it out of the way? Okay.
Sure. Sure. I went Chuba Hubbard as my number four.
Yep. I like it.
Jeremy?
I like it a lot.
Mine feels gross too. It's Taysom Hill.
Would you rather have Danny Gray or Taysom Hill?
I would rather have Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I know. Taysom Hill. I saw your face when I said Danny Gray. Number three,
I have Ben Skowronek. Dude's starting to get integrated. We've talked about him plenty this show, so I don't need to get into it more, but Ben Skowronek.
Chris Moore.
Yes, sir. I like it.
Jeremy.
Tyler Allgeier.
There's a name.
There you go.
They have gone to the rookie quarterback, and that
could we haven't mean, talked about that.
The and that could mean that they lean more heavily on their young guys to see what they have, and he could be a guy that could get more work.
Let's go, Desmond. Let's go. Could be one time. My number three is Gus Edwards. We've already talked about him. 13 carries. Can play him in a pinch. Number two.
Chuba Hubbard, I think he's got plenty of tick, and he's able to show that he's got quite a bit of juice there in that backfield. And I think that's something to be able to monitor going forward.
DJ Chark for me.
Ooh.
Same.
He was also
like my number two. Wow. I missed
the. So I think all three of us have the same number one.
I don't think so.
What? Yours was your. Mine's Jerick McKinnon.
Mine is also Jerick McKinnon.
Oof. Look at us.
And Josh when Adam, you said Jerick McKinnon, I was like, I was way off.
He said Jerick McKinnon, and I saw Bradley's eyes go wide. I went, I thought.
Who's your number one?
Hi, Chris Moore.
we're really picking a Texan as our number one waiver target.
I don't love it, but, you know, had to do it.
All right, stash or trash time? Cam Akers.
Stash.
Stash for sure.
Yep.
Stash.
Okay. James Cook. I almost said James Conner. We're keeping him. James Cook.
Well, all three of you guys should say trash. I'm saying stash because he's my guy.
My boy.
I guess I'm saying trash.
I said stash only because it was the Jets.
I'm also saying stash.
Yeah, that's fair. Him or Jerick McKinnon?
McKinnon.
McKinnon.
Yeah, I think I would lean McKinnon.
Okay. Him or Gus Edwards?
I would take James Cook.
I think I would take Cook.
Okay. Isaiah McKenzie.
Trash.
Gabe Davis.
Trash.
Yeah.
Be done with it.
He was already certified curbside.
Darius Slayton.
I'm stashing.
I think I feel better about a stash than I do a trash.
Gus? Trash. Sorry, Jeremy. Gus Edwards.
I would be fine if you trashed him for McKinnon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay. Same.
Jameson Williams.
Oh,
he
man.
Has to be trash.
I think you can trash him. If you're in a contender team, I think you can trash him.
You were playing four receiver sets today, and he wasn't in there. Like he
played. You could tell there was like just a concerted effort just to get him out on the field, just to get used to it. Like even when he caught his touchdown, like he did not. It was not smooth by any means. He was literally
It actually looked really bad when he was looking for the ball.
So
it looked bad.
There's a concerted effort to get him in controlled situations to get used to the NFL. But like as far as a contender for fantasy, I would trash him.
I would agree.
Let's do it. Starts of the week. Jeremy, you get to start us off this week. It is playoff time. Let's get it.
All right. So my start of the week this week at the quarterback position was Tyler Huntley, and he let me down.
He got hurt.
So that obviously played a factor. My quarterback start of the week this week is going to be Dak Prescott against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars.
Top 10, 11,
9.
I'll say 9. All right. I feel good about that. So my quarterback start of the week is Tua this last on week 14. Has not played yet.
What? No. Yours was Jared Goff.
I was looking at Bradley. You're right. Jared Goff, he needed to be top 9. He is currently 4. That's a hit. This week, I am going with Justin Herbert versus the Tennessee Titans.
Wow, you went from reading a miss to having a hit. That's kind
of yeah. Excuse me.
My fault. He hasn't. My fault.
Is he predicting the future?
I
didn't see
the one. I was thinking. My bad.
Boy, that's tough. 8. Is that it?
8.
8.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, that leads me to my start of the week. For week 14 was Kirko Cousins, Kirko Chains. He finished 3, so that was a hit.
He played unbelievable today.
He played spectacular. Just
call what it he is, played, anyways. Move on.
Yeah, he had just great placement all day. But and then my quarterback start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Geno versus San Francisco. I want the smoke.
Whoa.
I want it.
12.
I'll give you 12. Wow. That's bold. I have Tua tonight as my quarterback start of the week. He needs to be top eight, so that's a hit. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes versus the Houston Texans.
Top four. Three.
Four. See, so many quarterbacks have, like, boom weeks. If he is top randomly. Four, yeah.
What do you think,
Becker? Agree with that?
Four, yeah, four is fine.
You got it.
My running back start of the week this week was Joe Mixon. Need to be top 12. He is currently 14. Tough. You got to love it when P. Ryan gets the carry inside the seven. My running back start of the week this week, you can say I'm chasing points. I just like the matchup. It is Miles Sanders versus Chicago.
We've had the same top two so far. I had Dak and then Miles. That's my top two. 14, 15?
14.
Okay. My running back start of the week this week, Zeke. He needed to be top 14. He's currently 10. I feel pretty good about that. My running back start of the week this week, Jeremy's chasing points. I'm chasing the Texans. I got Isaiah Pacheco.
They were my number. He was my number two if I could decide.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset.
Pacheco's should be probably at 16.
Wow.
That's steep.
That feels a touch steep.
I was thinking somewhere 18 to 20.
Let's do 18. You got to feel super good about that, Brady.
Then why were you just saying I was so disrespectful for Saint?
That's a very fair point. I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. That's very fine. That's fair.
What was your start of the week?
My start of the week for week 14 was Tony Pollard. He'd be top 13, and he is four, so that's a hit. And
McKinnon, please, so we could just double up on picks.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was screw it. I'm going to do it. Jerick McKinnon. I want the Houston Texans defense, baby.
18. 16.
I'm kidding. 18 is fine.
Yeah. He literally gets the same amount of usage as Pacheco.
I was expecting like top 20.
Two spots were going to look like your jaws on the ground. That's okay.
Bradley. Okay. My start of the week was Dalvin Cook. He needed to be top 12. He was 21.
And look,
I just because I had to check if that pass he would have had to Johnny Munt, he would currently be running back 12 at this point. Not mad about it. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page on that. So this week I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson versus the Las Vegas Raiders.
14.
I like that. 14. J-Bex.
Right. Moving on to the wide receiver position. My wide receiver start of the week this week was DK Metcalf. He needed to be top 16. He currently resides at 13. I feel decent about it. Not amazing, but decent. My wide receiver start of the week this week is going to be Garrett Wilson against the Detroit Lions.
Top eight. It's a joke.
14. Let's do 16. 15. 15.
15.
17. 18. My wide receiver start of the week in week 14 was Tyler Lockett. He needed to be top 16. He's currently at 16, so that's a hit. Lock it in.
There's going to be a knee in the ball, both teams.
I am going with Amari Cooper versus the Baltimore Ravens.
I like that. 17.
I was going to say 15.
Split the difference, 16?
Sure.
16.
I feel like that's fair. I feel like he's in the same tier as DK and Tyler Lockett is, so I'm okay with that.
I like it. Thanks, all right, so my start of the week for a week.
Sounds good. It is. When you play Detroit, they give up 420 passing yards, yes.
My wide receiver start of the week in week 14 was Amon-Ra St. Brown. He needed to be top 10. He almost tripled that. And my start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Chris Olave versus Atlanta. Good pick, Josh. Good pick.
16.
Good pick.
Sure. 16 is good. You're just picking all sorts of tough matchups right now.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do.
AJ Terrell.
We're going to hit. Jalen Waddle is my start of the week. Needs to be top 14 hit. I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Seven.
That was the number that was coming to my head. What about you, Becker? The look on Bradley's face says instant regret on picking CD. What do you think, eight. Becker? We can do eight.
That's fair.
Okay. Moving on to the tight end position. My start of the week was Gerald Everett. Hit. for those of you keeping track at home, he's playing right now. My start at the tight end position this week is Greg Dulcich.
The Dulch.
12.
Yep.
That's the rate. There you go.
Okay, so my week 14 tight end start of the week, Tyler Higbee, horrible. Needed to be top 12. He was 27.
Gotta tell you that.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'm going to the well. I'm going real deep. I'm going with Chig Okonkwo against the Los Angeles Chargers. Told you he's in my waivers.
Top 12.
Yep.
I get 14.
You're getting 12, and you will like it. That brings me to my tight end for week 14 was TJ Hockenson. He needed to be top 5, and he made it to 9. So close. My tight end start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Dalton Schultz versus Jacksonville.
Seven.
J-Bex?
7.
All right, Hunter Henry plays tomorrow for my start of the week, so probably going to be a hit. But my start of the week this next week is going to be Tyler Conklin versus the Detroit Lions.
11.
That's a good one. 11.
11.
I don't know why you have that look on your face.
Yeah, I was literally going to say that, Bradley. What's with the look on your face?
It should have been 12. But...
No, it shouldn't have. You lose one when you play a team like that. All right. One's got to go. Rest of season, which means 3 weeks. We're talking running backs. Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, CMC, and Derrick Henry. One's got to go.
Man.
I might be out on a limb here, but I am going to drop Josh Jacobs because of the injury concerns.
He's got a pretty tough schedule.
He does. He plays New England, Pittsburgh, and then fantasy championship, he plays San Francisco.
Oof. And for those reasons, he is out.
Yep.
Yes.
Same. Rank him.
CMC 1, Eckler 2, Henry 3, Josh Jacobs 4.
Henry 1, CMC 2, Eckler 3, Jacobs 4.
I think I have Eckler 1, CMC 2, Henry 3, Jacobs 4.
I would have the same list as Brady. You said Henry, CMC, Eckler,
Jacobs.
Yep.
Chargers in Houston. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out week 17 against Dallas when it comes.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep. See ya.